The scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 147 and verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite.
Is it your desire to praise the Lord?
Amen.
Is it your desire to worship the Lord?
Amen.
We're having a praise service today. Every year, at least one weekend of camp meeting is a praise weekend. And Brother Langley informed me a couple weekends ago that it was going to be my turn to do the praise weekend. So I thought about it, and you know, we've done a lot of different things in the past. We've asked people to come up and give a testimony and a song that really reflected praise to Christ and to God for them. We've gone through and looked at the background of hymns and where they came from and who wrote them and why they wrote them. And I thought I wanted to do something a little different this time. So I pray that you'll receive a blessing from it. I pray that it will honor God and that praises will be sung in his name. And I pray that each and every one of you will receive a blessing for it. And the first thing I just want to do as we start out is read something from Psalms 106, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praises?" And my question to you is, who can declare all the praises of God? You know, every week we have here a time of praise and prayer, and there are wonderful praises that come up, and there are wonderful blessings that we talk about, but there are so many that we never mention, that we're not even aware of, because perhaps they don't affect us, or they're not a part of our life. So the big question is, to whom should our praise go? And what I'm going to do is, I've taken a hymn out of the songbook that is totally unfamiliar to me, and I'm going to read it, and I'm just going to kind of explain it to you and go through it and what it meant to me as I read it. And I'm going to do that verse by verse, and when we finish each verse, we're then going to sing a song, a praise song. So if you want to read it along with me, it's number 29 in your hymnal, and the song is Praise to God. And the first verse says, "Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory." And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it's the God who reigns above that we should praise. It's not the kings and the presidents of this earth. It's not the kings in the Middle East or the Queen of England or our own president here that we should give praise. They might do good things sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. But they're not the ones that deserve our praise. And why is that? And the question is, what really have they done? Did they create this earth? Did they call the animals into existence? Did they put the stars in the skies? Did they create the moon and the sun? No. They've done nothing more than what you and I could do, given the same set of circumstances. God has created well beyond what we can see. How many of you are interested in space? When I was little, I'm sure some of you will remember Dr. Seuss books. And Dr. Seuss had a book, You Will Go to the Moon. Anybody remember that? Anybody? Just me? Rachel's nodding her head. I used to get in bed at night and go under the blankets with a flashlight and read that book and pretend that I was on that trip going to the moon. I always wanted to go. I always wanted to be in space. And when I think of it now as an adult, all the things that are beyond our sight, you know, the Hubble telescope, the Land Rovers that went to Mars, all the things that we have put out there. And if we filled a thimble with what's in outer space, we've filled a lot. Because there is so much more. There is so much more out there that God has made and created that we can't even process in our minds, let alone think about or see. So I go on and I think, you know, what else has God done? That talks about God's majesty, his power, and we should certainly praise him for that. But what about his love and our salvation? Is that something that we should praise God for? Amen. Amen. Can anybody else give us what God has given us in love? Just in love. Let's talk about love for a minute. You know, husband and wives, Pedro, I dare say, you love Helen. You would do anything for her to make her happy. Bill's not here, but Rachel, you would do anything you could to make your husband happy. That's what we do. But God does more than that. God does more than that. A parent, I'm sure that Pedro and Helen, there's nothing they wouldn't do for Michael. Nothing to do for would they keep from him if it was for his benefit. But again, God has done more than you could ever do for Michael. You know, a parent might be willing to die for their child, but would a parent send their child to die for somebody else? And yet that's what God did. He sent his son, his beloved, his one and only, to this earth to die for us. And so we need to praise him for that. Healing. How many of you have ever suffered physically, emotionally, spiritually, and you open God's word, and there's a psalm or a story or something that touches your heart, and it just, even though you still may be sick in bed, your faith is renewed. You know that God is there. You know that he's going to make you well. You know that he's sitting right by your side on that bed. And at times, he's holding you in his arms. You may not feel it, but you know he's there. And that healing balm that comes from reading his word fills you with his mercy and with his grace. How many of you have ever complained? Nobody's ever complained. I don't see any heads shaking. I don't see any hands up. We're all perfect people. We're not like those Israelites, right? We don't complain because we don't have enough food or water, or we don't like the clothes that we have, or the house that we live in, or we got to take the bus to work today because our car broke down. But again, when we look at God's faithfulness to us, maybe you do have to take the bus to work because your car broke down. But did you ever thank and praise God that the bus runs right along your house route? Or that it's even there so you can get to work? Or maybe your neighbor takes you? When we read God's word and we reflect on what he's done in our lives personally, I'm not talking corporately, personally what he has done in your life, all our murmuring, all our complaining, all our whining is put to bed. It's silenced. I want to turn to the first song in your hymnal, song number one, I should say. It should be a familiar song to everybody. And I want us to just have Rachel lead us out as she's shaking her head. I pried her with cough drops today. And Martha will play as we sing Praise to the Lord.
Daily attend thee.
second verse. What God's almighty power hath made, his gracious mercy keepeth. By morning or evening shade, his watchful eye ne'er sleepeth. Within this kingdom of might, lo, all is just and all is right. So what kind of assurance do you get out of that, and why should we praise God for that?
He's in charge.
Thank you, Martha. He is in charge. It is his mighty power, his grace, his mercy that keeps us renewed every day. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't close his eyes. He doesn't rest. When I read that, I thought of, priests of Baal. Remember that? You know, Elijah was there. Come on. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe you better wake him up. Shout a little louder. We don't need to do that. We can speak softly, quietly, hidden in a closet. We don't even need to utter the words aloud. And God knows what our prayers are, what our needs are, because he never rests. He never closes his eyes. He never turns his back. He sees everything, hears everything, knows everything. So when you think that you can hide something from him, no. He knows. It's like a mother when she watches her child. You know, fathers may be like this, but I've never been a father. But most mothers, before, back in the day when you didn't have baby monitors, I know Martha remembers that. I'm not sure anybody else here remembers that. But before in the day you had baby monitors, I don't care where you were. If your baby murmured in its sleep, you knew it. You woke up. I don't know that a mother gets a good night's sleep for many years after their child is born. When my daughter was little, we had an air conditioner in the bedroom that we slept in, but we didn't have air conditioning in the whole house, and it didn't matter even when that air conditioner was running. I knew. I could hear something. There's something in a mother's nature. And God is similar to that. That, you know, not so much that he's sleeping and we rouse him out of his sleep, but he knows. He hears the tiniest murmur, the tiniest cry, the tiniest plea for help. He hears. And when he passes judgment, how many of you have ever felt that it's been unfair? Yeah. Pedro, Rachel, yeah, I do sometimes feel, I confess, that, you know, why God? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? But whatever God passes on us is a just judgment, whether it is to correct us from a sin or whether it is to encourage and strengthen us. You know, not all God's judgments are bad. That word, for some reason, in the Christian faith, seems to have bad connotations. Well, God judges the good as well, and he blesses us. And when he blesses us, those are his judgments upon us. They're his rewards to us for being faithful to him. And I would say that, you know, as much as we might praise God when his judgments are just and we benefit from them, I would challenge you that we need to praise him even when his judgments are harsh. Because it is through those judgments that we learn. It's through those judgments that we are brought closer and closer to him. I was reading out of, I don't remember what volume it was yesterday, because I read out of several of them, but Testimonies to the Churches. And there was a letter that Ellen White had written to an orphan whose parents had died. And a family had taken him in because they needed his assistance in doing things. And she talked to him over and over again about his rebellious spirit of not wanting to do the little things that were required of him. Sweeping the floor, picking dishes up. The little things that these people had asked him to do. Because his spirit was a prideful spirit. And he felt that he should do bigger things and better things. And yet Ellen White was reminding him that God said it's the little things. If you're faithful in the small things in life, that you will be much more faithful in the larger things of life. So sometimes God will pass us judgment on us for the little things that we've done, not for the great big things, not for being a world-class preacher You know, I love Billy Graham. I've listened to his messages all my life. But, you know, that doesn't mean God doesn't bless the little things, the people we have here who nobody outside of this church is ever going to know. God will sometimes bless that ministry more than he will the big ministries in life. In his kingdom, in his domain, everything is just because he is fair. And the next song that we're going to sing is from your hymnal as well. It is song number 6 out of your hymnal. And it is, O Worship the Lord. Says, the Lord is never far away throughout all our griefs and distressing, and ever present and help and stay our peace and joy and blessing, as with a mother's tender hand he leads his own, his chosen band. And I really like, I'm going to start with the last line, because we are his chosen band, and he leads us gently on our way. He watches our footsteps, he opens the way, and he leads us to where he wants us to be. Lisa's testimony today talked about, you know, she's been praying for a long time for something that she wanted, or thought that she wanted, and perhaps she really did want it, but she yielded to God. She prayed, I'm sure she talked to others, I'm sure she took counsel from other people, and she allowed God to open up to her what path he wanted her to take. And sometimes that is really hard for us to do. You know, we want something so badly, so desperately, and we want it to be God's will for us. But it's not always. And it's when we surrender to God that we give to him what he wants, which is us. He wants us, not our works, not our money, although those are things he requires of us, but we give that out of love for him. What he wants is us, our lives submitted to him and Christ living through us. When we are suffering and going through trials and tribulations, wanting things and praying for things and waiting and holding our breath and asking God, you know, why, when? When am I going to get this, Lord? When are you going to do this for me? You know, Lisa has said time and time again, God is never early, God is never late. He brings things to us in his time, and his time is always perfect. I know that Amber has been asking for prayer for Michael for work for, I don't know how long, Amber, a long while though. And in God's time, he supplies that. And we need to remember that in our own life, that God helps us, but he helps us in his time and in his way. Sometimes he will help us to get the things that we want, and sometimes he'll help us to get the things that he wants us to have. And most of the time, the things that he wants us to have are much better than the things that we want. And we need to remember to praise him for that. Because when he blesses us and we give praise and testimony, not only does it reinforce our own faith and the faith of those here, but I'm sure when Amber goes to work and says, praise God that I got a job, my husband has a job, and I have this, that encourages those that she works with who maybe aren't Christians or maybe are Christians but are struggling with something in their own life. You know, I go to work, and last week when Eric and Candy were here, and Candy shared with us that Malou was able to start giving breast milk to Braden. You know, I went to work and said, you know what, remember that person I told you about at church, and she had the babies, and I give that to them, and it encourages them as well to realize that God is a God of just works. He is a faithful God, and he will answer prayers. He leads us in ways that should, if we think about it, bring us joy and happiness. Because God never leads us in ways of sorrow. We might go through them because of choices we've made, because of circumstances beyond our control, but God never leads us to sorrow. He allows it to happen in our lives so that we can grow and we can grow closer to him. And as a mother teaches her child from infancy, really through adulthood, you know, they go through infancy, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and even as adults, children still come to their parents for guidance. So God takes us by the hand, and he leads us home. And the next song that we're going to sing is number 21 in your hymnal, Immortal Invisible. Oh, I'm sorry, Martha, you're right. It's number 12. I skipped a song. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And really sing it like you mean it.
Joyful, joyful.
Fourth verse. Then all my gladsome ways along, I sing aloud thy praises.
that men may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord, my heart, both soul and body, bear your part. To God all praise and glory. You know, the response that we should have to God is to sing praises, to mouth praises, to offer praises in prayer, in worship, in deed, and in action. When your heart is full of praise, it's full of joy. It's full of gladness. It's full of unending worship for God. It leads us to desire him more. It says, then all my gladsome way along, I sing aloud thy praises. Some ways that we sing praises are right here in this church every week when we have our prayer and praise. We lift God up, we lift each other up, we lift up what God has done for us in our lives, and we honor him and we glorify him. And we do that because we want people to see how grateful we are. We want to share what God has done for us. We want to share the benefits that he has provided for us. But more importantly, we want to remember how fortunate we are to be in a place where we can do that. Imagine living someplace where you live under the worry and the concern that someone could rush into your house of worship, be it a church building or your home, and take you out and put you in prison because you live in a Muslim nation or a Buddhist nation or a Hindu nation where it's illegal to talk about Christ and try to win people over to Christ, where you can be put in jail for doing those. We have such freedom here to worship God. We have such freedom to proclaim who he is and what he has done in our lives, to be able to carry our Bibles with us, to be able to carry our hymnals with us wherever we go. And we should never forget that, never lose sight of what we have here in this nation, because it is a blessing from God. He asks us to do our part. He asks us to live our lives as he would have us live our lives. He asks us to be missionaries here in our church, in our community, at our work, in our families, with our friends. It's not just overseas work that he asks us to do. We each have a mission field in our lives, and our mission field is to praise God and to glorify God and to bring others to know him. Not to save them, not to bring them to salvation, just to let them know who God is. Pedro mentioned before about planting a seed. That's all we need to do. We just need to plant the seed. The Holy Spirit will nurture it. The Holy Spirit will cause it to grow. And if that person is in the place in their life where they're searching for God, they'll find him. The Holy Spirit will open up to them who he is. And when that happens, your praise will become their praise, and their praise will become somebody else's praise. And I think as we come to a close and we think about who God is and who we should praise and what he has done and how he has manifested himself in our lives, that we just need to remember to praise him daily. I mean, the contrast is not pretty, but I'm going to use it anyway. Our mouths should be dripping with praise. We should be overcome with the things that God has done with us to the point that we can never stop talking about them. We need to remember that God is three things, and this is our closing song. God is immortal, he is invisible, and he is the only wise one that there is. So I'm going to ask you to join me, and I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing number 21, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
closing, I just want to read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 117. And it says, "Let all the peoples praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And my prayer is that as we leave here today and we go downstairs to share a meal and some time together, that we would continue to praise the Lord, to honor him, to glorify him, and to literally drip with the praises that he has given to us this week and continues to give to us every day. And the closing hymn is number 70 in your hymnals. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that you will continue to watch over us, Father. We're grateful that you never sleep, that your eyes are never off us. I pray, Father, that we would sing praises in everything that we do. And Father, I am so grateful that you love us enough to continue to search us out and to bring us home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord.